And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today's June the 20th, 171st day of the year. War still rages in Europe. Ukraine is still holding off the Russian bear. 194 days remain till the year's over with. Well, in the year 451, the Battle of Chalons, Flavius Ortius battles Attila the Hun after the battle, which was inconclusive, Attila retreats. The Romans decided they'd won. 1180, first battle of Uji, starting the Genpo War in Japan. 1620, Battle of Hoxt takes place during the 30 Years' War. 1631, the Sack of Baltimore. Harris Village of Baltimore is attacked by Algerian pirates. 1652, Tarhunku Ahmed Pasha is appointed Grand Vizier of the Ottoman Empire. 1685, Monmouth Rebellion. James Scott, first Duke of Monmouth, declares himself King of England at Bridgewater. The king frowned on that, of course. 1756, British garrison is imprisoned in the Black Hole of Calcutta. A lot of legends came from that. 1782, the U.S. Congress adopts the Great Seal of the U.S. 1787, Oliver Ellsworth moves to the Federal Convention to call the government the United States. 1789, deputies of the French Third Estate take the tennis court oath. Now, for those not familiar with it, now this oath was taken in the tennis courts, which had been built in 1686 for use by those who lived in Versailles Palace. The vote was not to separate and reassemble wherever necessary till the Constitution of the Kingdom is established. It was a pivotal event in the French Revolution. The States General had been called to address the country's fiscal and agricultural crisis, but they'd become bogged down in issues of representation immediately after convening in May of 1789, particularly whether they'd vote by order or by head, which would increase the power of the Third Estate, as they outnumbered the other two estates by a huge margin. But since that was done on the tennis court, they called it the Tennis Court Oath. 1791, Louis XVI, disguised as a valet, and the French royal family attempt to flee Paris during the French Revolution. They got caught. 1819, U.S. vessel SS Savannah arrives in Liverpool, U.K. First steam-propelled vessel to cross the Atlantic, although most of the journey is made under sail. 1837, Queen Victoria succeeds to the British throne. 1840, Samuel Morse gets the patent for the telegraph. 1862, Barbu Cotargiu, the Prime Minister of Romania, is assassinated. 1863, the American Civil War, West Virginia is admitted to as the 35th U.S. state. 1877, Alexander Graham Bell installs the world's first commercial telephone service in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. 1893, Lizzie Borden is acquitted of the murders of her mother, of her father and stepmother. 1895, the Kiel Canal, crossing the base of the Jutland Peninsula and is the busiest artificial waterway in the world, is officially opened on this date. 1900, the Boxer Rebellion. Imperial Chinese Army begins a 55-day siege of the Legation Quarter in Beijing, China. Even though the Imperial Army was not supposed to be affiliated with the Boxers, everybody knew that they were supporting the Boxers in order to throw out the Westerners. 1900, Baron Edward Toul, leader of the Russian Polar Expedition of 1900, departs St. Petersburg in Russia on the explorer ship Zarya, never comes back. Now, for those that are not familiar with it, it was commissioned by the St. Petersburg Academy of Science to study the Arctic Ocean north of New Siberian Islands and search for the legendary Sannikov Land, led by Baltic German geologist and Arctic explorer Baron Toll. He and his three assistants vanished in 1902 while exploring Bennett Island. One of the key members of the expedition was Alexander Kolchak, then a young researcher and lieutenant in the Russian Navy. Later, he became a provisional ruler of Russia during the Civil War period. He also led the rescue mission to find Toole and his crew. Well, they had a sizable crew, but unfortunately, Toole vanished. 1921, the workers of Buckingham and Carnatic Mills in the city of China in India began a four-month strike. 1926, the 28th International Eucharist Congress begins in Chicago. Over 250,000 spectators attend the opening procession. 1940, World War II, Soviet Union occupies Romanian territories of Bessarabia and northern Bukovina under the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. 1942, the Holocaust. Kazimierz Piotrowski and three others, dressed as members of the SS unit, steal an SS staff car and escape from the Auschwitz concentration camp. 1943, the Detroit race riots break out and continues for three more days. 1943, World War II, the Royal Air Force launches Operation Bolokos, the first shuttle bombing raid of the year. Avro Lancaster bombers damage the V-2 rocket production facilities at the Zeppelin Works while en route to an airbase in Algeria. 1944, World War II, the Battle of the Philippine Sea concludes with a decisive U.S. naval victory. This lopsided naval air battle is known as the Great Marianas Turkey Shoot. 1944, continuation war. Soviet Union demands an unconditional surrender from Finland during the beginning of partially successful Vyborg Petrozavorsk offensive. Finnish government refuses. 1944, the experimental MW-18014 V-2 rocket reaches an altitude of 176 kilometers, becoming the first man-made object to reach outer space that we know of. 1945, the United States Secretary of State approves the transfer of Wernher von Braun and his team of Nazi rocket scientists to the U.S. under Operation Paperclip. Unfortunately, they brought over some people who should never have been allowed to come. And one of them became a doctor with the U.S. Army. And unfortunately, he was a doctor, did my out-processing physical, and I left the military. Missed the fact I was on crutches. Just slipped his mind completely to write it down. 1948, the Deutschmark is introduced in Western Allied-occupied Germany. Soviet military administration in Germany responded by imposing the Berlin blockade 4 days later. 1956, a Venezuelan super constellation crashes in the Atlantic Ocean off Asbury Park, New Jersey. 74 people die. 1959, a rare June hurricane strikes Canada's Gulf of St. Lawrence, kills 35. 1959, just as a note to keep in mind, Trudeau, the Prime Minister, just declared it's illegal to use a pistol or a gun to defend yourself. There's no right of self-defense in Canada. If somebody wants to attack and kill you, you can't shoot them. 1960, the Mali Federation gains independence from France, later splits into Mali and Senegal. 1963, following the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Soviet Union and the U.S. sign an agreement to establish the so-called Red Telephone Link between Washington, D.C. and Moscow. 1972, Watergate scandal. An 18.5-minute gap appears in the tape recordings of the conversation between President Nixon and his advisors regarding the recent arrest of his operatives while breaking into the Watergate complex. 1973, snipers fire on left-wing Peronists in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in what is known as the Azusa massacre. At least 13 are killed, more than 300 are injured. 1973, Aeromexico Flight 229 crashes on approach to Encinitas Gustavo Diaz Ordaz International Airport. All 27 people on board are killed. 1975, the film Jaws is released in the U.S., becoming the highest grossing film of that time and starting the trend of films known as summer blockbusters. 1979, ABC News correspondent Bill Stewart shot dead by a Nicaraguan National Guard soldier under the regime of Estacio Somoza de Valle during the Nicaraguan Revolution. The murder is actually caught on tape and sparks an international outcry against the regime. 1982, International Conference on the Holocaust and Genocide opens in Tel Aviv. Despite attempts by the Turkish government to cancel it, as it included presentations on the Armenian Genocide. 1982, the Argentine Corbeta Uruguay base in southern Toul surrenders to Royal Malin Commandos in the first action of the Falklands War. 1990, asteroid Eureka is discovered. Also in 1990, the 7.4 Manjil-Rudbar earthquake affects northern Iran with a maximum Mercalli intensity of 10, which is considered extreme, killing 35,000 to 50,000, injuring 60,000 to 105,000. 1991, as you might guess, their record keeping was not stellar. In 1991, German Bundestag votes to move the seat of government from the former West German capital Bonn to the present capital Berlin. 1994, the 1994 Iman Reza shrine bomb explosion in Iran leaves 25 dead and 70 to 300 injured. 2003, the Wikimedia Foundation is founded in St. Petersburg, Florida. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances, Christian Feast Day, Adalbert of Magdeburg, Florentina, John of Matera, Blessed Margarita, Ebner, Methodius of Olympus, Pope Silverius, Day of the National Flag in Argentina, earliest possible date for the summer solstice in the Northern Hemisphere and the winter solstice in the Southern Hemisphere and its related observances. Earliest day on which the day of the Finnish flag can fall, June 26th is the latest, celebrated on Saturday of Midsummer's Day in Finland. International Surfing Day is the third Saturday in June on or near the summer solstice. Letha and Midsummer celebrations in the Northern Hemisphere, Yule in the Southern Hemisphere. Gas Sector Day in Azerbaijan, Martyrs Day in Eritrea, West Virginia Day in West Virginia, World Refuge Day in Refugee Day in internationally. Alrighty, let's see what else we got. I know we've got a number of other things. In 451, we had the Battle of the Catalonian Plains. Roman and Visigoth forces defeat Attila the Hun in northeast France, halting the Hun invasion of Roman Gaul. Now, of course, the exact date is disputed. 1212, French and Spanish crusaders unite against the Almohaden in Toledo. 1214, University of Oxford gets its charter. 1212, the foundation stone is laid for Burgos Cathedral in the presence of Ferdinand III of Castile. It became a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1984. 1530, the German Parliament joins to Augsburg together. 1582, Bishop Domingo de Salazar Manila suppresses the Philippines. 1591, Mauritius and Wilhelm von Nassau occupy the Venti. 1627, Ottoman pirates begin raids on Icelandic villages. They eventually capture over 400 people they sold into slavery. 1632, the British grant the second Lord Baltimore rights to Chesapeake Bay area. If you knew the right people, you can get anything. 1633, the charter from Maryland is given to Lord Cecil Baltimore. 1656, the Polish king, Jan II Casimir, recaptures Warsaw. 1675, the Abenaki, the Massachusetts, the Mohegan, and the Wampanoag Native Americans form an anti-English front under Metacom. 1675, King Philip's War begins when a small band of Wampanoag men attack and kill colonists in Swansea, Massachusetts. Then they come back a few days later and literally destroy the town. Now, 1756, I mentioned earlier, was the Black Hole of Calcutta. 146 soldiers, Anglo-Indian soldiers and Indian civilians are imprisoned in a small dungeon in Calcutta. Most die from suffocation and heat exhaustion, and they were so tightly packed together, if you died, you couldn't even fall to the ground. 1756, Siraj ud-Daulah Nawab of Bengal takes Calcutta away from the British. 1779, the Battle of Stono Ferries fought near Charleston, South Carolina during the American Revolutionary War. 1783, American Revolution, Battle of Cuddalore, naval battle between British and French fleets off the coast of India fought before word of a peace agreement arrived from Europe was the final battle of the war. 1725, the coronation of Charles X, the last Bourbon king of France. 1826, Siam and Britain sign a trade and peace treaty. 1837, when I talked earlier about Queen Victoria becoming queen on this date in 1837, she was 18 at the time she ascended the throne. She is followed the death of her uncle, King William IV. She ruled for 63 years. She didn't die until 1901. Understand, in 1840, Samuel Morse patented his telegraph. 1855, on this date, commissioners are appointed to lay out San Francisco streets west of Larkin. 1863, the first bank is chartered in the U.S. It was the National Bank of Davenport, Iowa. 1863, saw a skirmish at Greencastle, Pennsylvania. On this day in 1864, we saw the Battle of Kingston, North Carolina, and the Battle of Abingdon, Virginia. 1866, Italy declared war on Austria, beginning the Third Italian War of Independence. 1867, President Andrew Johnson announced the Alaska Purchase. A check was issued by the U.S. to buy Alaska. It cost 2 cents an acre. 1871, the Ku Klux Klan trials began in federal court in Oxford, Mississippi. 1874, the first U.S. life-saving medal was awarded to Lucien Clemens. 1894, French bacteriologist André Yersin discovers the bacillus responsible for the bubonic plague in Hong Kong. Yersinia pestis, which is the actual name for bubonic plague, was named in his honor. 1895, the first female PhD from an American university was earned by Carolyn Willard Baldwin at Cornell University. It was a PhD in science. All right. 1895, Nicaragua and El Salvador and Honduras form a short-lived confederation. 1900, Baron von Kettler, German minister, decides to go to the Chinese authorities to demand more guards for European protection from the Boxers, and the Boxers kill him while he's on the way to the meeting, which proved his point, they needed more security. 1901, Charlotte Maxeke becomes the first Native African to graduate from a U.S. college, Wilberforce University in Ohio. 1907, the first Portland Rose Festival was held in Portland, Oregon. 1909, saw the first balloon honeymoon, Roger Burham and Eleanor Waring. 1915, on this date, saw the beginning of the German offensive in the Argonne. This day in 1919, the Treaty of Versailles, Germany ends incorporation of Austria. 1919, 150 people die at the Teatro Yanguas fire in Mayaguez, Puerto Rico. 1919, Philip Schumann resigns as Chancellor of the New German Republic, which he helped establish. He refused. 1921, at the Imperial Conference in London, V.S. Srinivasa Sastri put forward a case for the granting of full citizenship rights to Indians in South Africa and other British colonies. Don't think he went over that well. 1926, Mordecai W. Johnson became the first black president of Howard University. 1936, Jesse Owens of the U.S. set a 100-meter record at 10.2. 1939 saw a test flight of the first rocket plane using liquid propellants. 1941, German U-203 failed in a torpedo attack on the U.S. battleship Texas. This day, 1942, Adolf Eichmann proclaimed the deportation of all Dutch Jews. He was tried for his crimes in 1961 in Jerusalem. 1942, German troops conquered Tobruk in North Africa. 1943, Congress of Racial Equality, or CORE, is founded in Chicago. 1944, Congress chartered the Central Intelligence Agency. 1944, Soviet forces conquer Vyborg. 1947, President Truman vetoed the Taft-Hartley Act. 1949, the Central Intelligence Agency Act is passed. 1948, let's see if there's anything else. 1960, Floyd Patterson knocked out Ingemar Johansson in 5 rounds for the heavyweight boxing title. 1 great day in children's TV. In 1960, on this date, the Huckleberry Hound Show by Hanna-Barbera became the first animated program to win an Emmy. All right, is there anything else? 1967, Muhammad Ali sentenced to 5 years by a jury after 21 minutes of deliberation for refusing to be inducted into the armed forces during the Vietnam War. righty. Let's see. I don't think. 1973 saw Juan Perón return from exile to Argentina after 18 years. He had been general and president at one point. Okay, I think we've got it. We're going to be talking about a different topic that was suggested to me. Cryptids. Now, cryptids are animals that shouldn't exist, or let's say entities that shouldn't exist. There's a difference of opinion as to whether they're animals or not. You know, humanity has always had monsters to think about, look about, and be afraid of. These are creatures that lurk in our periphery, skulking, stalking, waiting to where we're most vulnerable before they show themselves and attack. In the early days of humanity, there were actually real monsters. Cave bears, woolly rhinoceros, lions, all capable of instilling fear in man because they were all capable of killing us. Now, in the late quaternary megafaunal, 11,000 years ago, humanity lost most of its real monsters. And during the rise of civilization, we had new monsters. The Minotaur, the Cyclops, the Griffins, the Dragons. All of them were attempts by man to explain nature and theology with using humanity's ever-increasing brain power. I mean, frankly, as society changes, so does its monsters. Now, many of the creatures I'm going to talk about may sound familiar. When people move to a new land, they bring with them more than just their families and their possessions. They bring with them their myths and legends, and in some cases, the things that have always lurked in their shadows and hid under their beds. The Banshee of South Dakota, Badlands, actually came from Ireland. The Tommyknockers that occupy the mines in Pennsylvania, California, first had their appearance in Cornwall, in Connecticut's Black Dog of Hanging Hills. Sounds like a British hellhound. And Native American legends also gave rise to a number of monsters. Now, legends of the European werewolf began in ancient Greece. But these creatures started to appear across Europe in the medieval times because real wolves have become a serious problem. And at that time, people who didn't fit in the mold cast by the Roman Catholic Church, by definition, had to be in league with the devil. So now we had witches and warlocks. Well, as technology changed, so did the creatures that caused our nightmares. Frankenstein, published in 1818 by Mary Shelley, was a direct result of scientists at that age experimenting on the dead with newly harnessed electricity. Could you reanimate dead tissue? Victorian age authors terrified the audiences with more monsters like Shelley's. Monsters that were once human, but for whatever reason became larger than human, so to speak. I'm talking about Count Dracula, the Mummy, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, the Invisible Man. Then, of course, these monsters jump from the pages of the literature to the silver screen. As they reignited our fear in such creatures to reflect the horror of the Great Depression and both World Wars. And once humans took to the air, monsters changed again. They came from the sky. From H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds, to Predator, to the Avengers. Our modern scientific monsters come from outer space. And of course, with the creation of Godzilla, the horrors of a nuclear war were quite evident on our movie screens and TV screens. Now, it's been said by many, humans need monsters. They help us deal with the real horrors in life, mainly our fear of the unknown. According to the book that's called The Monster Show, A Culture History of Horror, monsters help us process our fears about reality in a way that makes them less immediate. If a person is afraid of the artificial intelligence, Skynet, and the Terminator series, they may not look too closely at the Amazon Echo in their own kitchen, which does much the same as the Skynet system did. Today's monsters, vampire, Bigfoot, lake creatures, dogmen, black-eyed kids, have their own place in our lives. In our world of science, there seem to be few places on the planet left to explore. Fewer mysteries to solve. So when somebody sees a hairy, 8-foot-tall, ape-like man walking through their yard, it does make legends become real. It brings the unknown into our homes and makes the impossible seem all too possible. July 1971, Joan Mills and Mary Ryan encountered a hair-covered, 7-foot-tall, 3-toed, ape-like monster near Louisiana, Missouri. There were stories in the media about that creature for weeks that summer in the Kansas City Star. It was a real monster, a Bigfoot named Momo. A lot of monster chasers spent a lot of time outside that summer searching for giant footprints, wandering the areas around their house, hoping to have a run-in with the monster. And of course, many times the parents were not exactly fans. And there are a lot of unknown creatures in this world. The Abominable Snowman, the Loch Ness Monster, dragons, actual living dinosaurs, E.T., lizardmen, gnomes. According to the Angus Reid Public Optimum Opinion Poll, 29% of Americans believe Bigfoot's real. It's about the same number of folks who think our current administration is doing a great job. And 24% of Scots are convinced the existence of the Loch Ness Monster. A 60 Minutes Vanity Fair poll showed 30% of Americans believe in extraterrestrials and 33% believe in ghosts. A Gallup poll showed 18% of the American public is convinced Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster will eventually be discovered. And there are people out there who spend their time traipsing around in the forests and searching the depths of the world's lakes, trying to find these creatures. They're known as cryptozoologists. Although usually not taken seriously by science, cryptozoologists do have an important job because at one point, all animals were unknown. How about the gorilla? European scientists didn't see a living okapi until 1901. The mountain gorilla until 1902. A giant panda until 1916. A Congo peacock until 1936. And a megamouth shark until 1976. And, of course, we have the coleocanth, who was supposed to be extinct for 20, 30 million years. Somebody caught one in 1939 off the coast of Africa. Between 15,000 and 18,000 new species are identified every year. According to science, at the time it was caught, 6.5-foot-long saltwater fish, the coleocanth I referenced earlier, became extinct 66 million years ago. But December 22, 1938, a South African museum curator, Marjorie Doris Courtney Latimer, Got a call from Captain Hendrik Doosan. Come look at a strange fish he caught. Well, kind of an annoyance, but she went and couldn't believe what she was seeing. A completely extinct creature that was caught in 1939. Now, if all these once unknown creatures exist, I have to ask you, why couldn't the Bigfoot, a possible remnant, Gigantopithecus, a possible remnant Neanderthal, a possible unknown species of North American ape, whatever the Bigfoot might be, there's too many stories for it not to have some validity. Well, we're going to start in the great state of Alabama, in the southeastern United States. It's known as the Heart of Dixie. Just an interesting side note. Back when I was an instructor at the U.S. Army Infantry School, we trained a lot of foreign officers. And there were two Iranian officers. I mean, these were combat veterans. I'm wandering through the woods, making sure none of our students fell in a hole or got snake bit, when I heard voices yelling for help. It was down near the creek. So I went down there, and these two guys are on the top of a pine tree. They must have been 60 feet off the ground. Pine trees in Fort Benning got very tall. And I asked them what they were doing up the tree, and they said they were hiding from the monster. I needed to look out, because it'd get me too. Well, I turned around and looked, and there getting a drink was a stag, a deer. I said, "What monster are you talking about?" And they pointed at the deer and said, "That one." I said, "That's not a monster. That's a deer." "What's a deer?" Well, that was a straight line for starting to sing a song, but I didn't do it. I said, "It's a creature that a lot of folks hunt. It's not a monster. Come on down from the tree." Well, I had a radio, and I called in, and I said I needed somebody over here to calm down to Iranian officers who were terrified of a monster they'd encountered. The deer just kind of wandered off into the bushes. Now, Alabama ranks in the middle of the states in both size and population. It has one of the largest inland waterway systems in the country at 1,500 miles. Mostly covered in plains, although the northern part of Alabama is filled with mountains, and the part of the Alabama I was in was heavily wooded. It's got four national forests, the largest national rock bridge east of the Rocky Mountains at 148 feet, and a five-mile-wide crater made when dinosaurs still roamed the earth. Now, had they encountered a dinosaur, I would agree with them. It would probably classify as a monster. But I couldn't classify it. It was a big deer, yes. Probably a 14-point buck. But still. The first electric trolley system in the world was unveiled in Montgomery in 1886. But it went until 1950 that other stories started to circulate. In 50, Werner von Braun, one of Hitler's fair-haired boys, who until Operation Paperclip came along was a rabid Nazi. Now, Truman had signed an executive order: no members of the Iron Guard, which was a remaining Nazi party, or card-carrying Nazis could come over under that program. So what did intelligence do for somebody they wanted? They just deleted the reference. Well, German scientists, including von Braun, were brought to the Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville to develop rockets, which in turn started the American space program. December 1, 1955, Rosa Parks, an African-American woman, refused to give her bus seat to a white man in Alabama. In Alabama, that was a no-no. And that act became a symbol of the civil rights movement. I mean, even Condoleezza Rice came from Alabama. Now, among the cryptids, that wonder that state, something called the White Fang. T-H-A-N-G, Fang. That's how they say it in Alabama. Reports about this creature date back to the 30s. Been described as everything from a dog to a Bigfoot to a ghost. But two things seem to be fairly constant no matter what they're calling it. The monster's long white hair and its scream. Now in the book entitled Legend in Lower Birmingham and Central Alabama by Beverly Kreider, a man named George Norris, an eyewitness in the 40s, saw the creature. Said it looks like a lion, bushy, between a dog and a lion. It was white and slick with long hair. It had a slick tail. And on the end of that tail was a big old bush of hair. That's how they talk in Alabama. 1930s, the monster was said to run on all fours, even climb trees to wait for people to walk beneath it. In later decades, it's been described as walking upright and at least 7 feet tall. Although witnesses say they can't make out any detail of the creature, like hands or facial features. But it's not the creature's appearance or behavior that causes the fright that it does. People who've encountered the White Fang say it's non-threatening. It's the scream that scares the crap out of people. It's a shriek like a woman or a baby crying. Not only barks in the woods at night, witnesses have heard the sound come from the hulking white-haired creatures that loomed over them and screeched in their face. Now, my guess would be that scream, because I've heard it when I was wandering the thick woods of Georgia and Alabama, was probably a Sasquatch. Now, when residents of Trussville, Alabama, began to discover their pet dogs and cats slaughtered by an animal in 2014, officials went on to decide it was coyotes. You'd be surprised at what an expert an official becomes when they have to give an explanation for something that's inexplicable. Now, according to the Mobile Press Register, local newspaper, canines didn't match eyewitness reports. The canines of the teeth. One unnamed witness told the newspaper several of the residents have confirmed it's a feline creature. It jumps tall fences and extremely quick. The Trussville citizens, almost to a man or a woman, decided it was a wampus cat. Now, this spectral panther-sized beast has been reported across the American Southeast for centuries. Now, there are numerous legends about the origins of this cat, but most common in Alabama, the first legend comes from a Native American tradition. A Cherokee woman, suspicious of her husband's hunting trips, dressed in the skin of a mountain lion and followed the hunting party into the woods. She came on the hunters sitting around a fire listening to stories about magic. Well, she hid and stayed to hear the stories that were forbidden to her, for her to hear. They discovered her and cursed her to spend eternity as a half-woman, half-mountain lion. Now, what she thought her husband was doing in the woods was never explained. Second legend, slightly more modern, but just as magical. According to McDowell News of Marion, North Carolina, during World War II, the military succeeded in crossbreeding mountain lions and gray wolves in rural Alabama in an attempt to create a species of intelligent, vicious creatures to use as messengers in a war zone. A few males and females of this new species apparently escaped. The military compound began to breed in the wild and become known as the Wampus Cat. Or maybe the Wampus Cat is just a mountain lion. Although Kevin Dodd of the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources denies that a Wampus Cat actually exists. He was adamant. Aren't any giant cats in Alabama? That shows he's never been to some of the places I've been. How about the Alabama Metal Man? Fayetteville Police Chief Greenhall, got a telephone call a little before 10 p.m. on the night of October 17, 1973, And the woman on the other end of the phone was just frantic. She was a resident of rural Falkville, claimed a spaceship had landed just outside town in a field. Well, the chief grabbed his pants, his camera, and left the police station. Got to the site of the landing at about 10 p.m. He didn't find a spaceship, but he did find a monster. He encountered a bipedal creature wrapped in metal, and it came at him, according to an article written by B.J. Booth for National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, or NICAP. That's a UFO research group, don't you know? It looked like his head and neck were kind of made together, Greenhall told reporters. Real bright, something like rubbing mercury on a nickel. Just as smooth as glass. Well, he trained his police cruiser headlights on it, and the creature bolted across the field. Greenhall gave chase in his car, pushed the car up to 35 miles an hour across that bumpy terrain, but the creature outran his car. He said he was running faster than any human I ever saw. And although the creature was not seen again, neither was the spaceship. As far as anybody knows, that the metal man's still wandering in northern Alabama. Trying to phone home, I guess, but there are not many payphones. Then we've got Alaska that we bought for 2 cents an acre. And it's big, 663,300 square miles. About the size of Germany, Poland, and France combined. To put its size into perspective, I guess, if Alaska were a sovereign nation, it'd be the 18th largest country in the world. It's filled with scenic ocean views, thick forests, the highest mountains in the U.S., 100,000 glaciers, and abundant wildlife. One thing it's not filled with is people. Population of the entire state's about 730,000, comparable to Detroit. And half of them live in the Anchorage metropolitan area. That works out to a population density of about 1.2 people per square mile. It's got 6,640 miles of coastline, which is more than all the other states combined. That's a lot of open space for bears and mooses and killer whales and everything else under the sun to wander around. Well, you know, from the Pliocene era, which is 5 million years ago, to the early Holocene, 11,700 B.C. and until now, various species of mammoth have lumbered across North America, Europe, Asia, and Africa. And although science agrees the species went extinct about 10,000 years ago, there's one pocket of woolly mammoths that does still live on Russia's Wrangel Island until 1650 B.C. Pyramids at Giza are already 1,000 years old at that point. However, a smattering of reports claim that 11-foot-tall, 16 animals have lived into modern times. Footage in Russia shot by a Nazi photographer in World War II showed a woolly mammoth walking through the snow. Native Americans in Canada have stories about these creatures living in the northern wilderness. And there's a case from November 28, 1896, edition of the Portland, Maine Press, by Colonel C.F. Fowler, heard of woolly mammoths in Alaska. According to this article, Fowler was in Alaska to purchase ancient mammoth ivory from the local Inuit people, and he noticed blood and rotting flesh on the roots of some of those tusks. When he asked an elder where the tribe got the tusks, the elder told him less than 3 months before a party of his young men encountered a drove of monsters about 50 miles above where he was then encamped, and they killed two of them. When Fowler spoke with the hunting party, they described a creature from another age. The hunter said their ears were suddenly saluted with a chorus of loud, shrill, trumpet-like calls. An enormous creature came crashing toward him through the thicket. The ground fairly trembled beneath its ponderous footfalls. Fowler, if nothing else, had a flowery writing style. Now, the Inuits were armed with large-caliber muskets and stood their ground open-fired on the creature. And apparently a bullet penetrated the creature's brain because it staggered a few steps and fell. Now, in that article, Fowler also said Alfred Swineford, second governor of Alaska, claimed that there were large herds of these creatures above Snake River and Alaska's Seward Peninsula. Well, I would have to say, if these creatures do still live, Alaska would be a perfect place for them. Mutaliliamna, lake monster. In a sparsely populated area of southwest Alaska, the entire region in 2010 only had 109 residents. It's a 1,012 square mile Iliamna Lake, home to Chinook salmon, lake trout, northern pike, and Ili, the Iliamna Lake monster. The lake itself, at 77 miles long, 22 miles wide, 988 feet deep, is the largest lake in Alaska, and certainly capable of hiding the 30-foot-long, square-headed beast. Now, the creature known as Gunnakadet by the native Tlingit people was viewed as a god within the body of an orca and the head of the wolf, known to eat fishing boats. Early Russian explorers reportedly saw the creature living on the lake, and sightings are continued to this day. Modern reports come from explorers and biologists who've seen the 30-foot monster, sometimes described as aluminum-colored, other times as black with a white stripe. One report has an airplane snagging the beast with a tuna hook, and the creature towed the plane around the lake before those aboard could release the cable. There were multiple sightings in June of 2017 near the town of Kakonak. A number of people on June 19th and in the ensuing days saw something large emerge from the lake, according to radio station KDLG in nearby Dillingham. According to local resident Gary Nielsen, there was more than one, at least three. First was the biggest, maybe double the size of a 32-foot gill netter. Animal either blew like a whale or spit water from its mouth or something like that. Small animal behind him did the same, but not as dramatic. And they were black or very dark gray. And in fact, he admitted he was a total loss of what they could be. Experts have claimed the Iliamna Lake monster is everything from a white sturgeon to a sleeper shark to a beluga whale, all of which can reach a length of about 20 feet and has access to the lake, but the locals know better. Iliamna Lake is home to a monster. Of course, we have Ivory scientists who know better than anybody who actually sees it. Then we've got the Kodiak dinosaur. Now, Kodiak Island is just 176 miles from Iliamna Lake and is the scene of another sighting of a water monster. The shrimp boat Mylark, equipped with a state-of-the-art sonar equipment, spotted something in the water off Kodiak that the people aboard could only describe as a dinosaur. Now, the boat coasted past the island in 1969, attempting to map the seafloor when the equipment detected an object swimming about 330 feet below the Mylark. It was about 200 feet long. The largest living sea creature, the blue whale, only reaches 100 feet in length and doesn't fit the description of what the crew of the Mylark saw that day. The creature had two pairs of flippers, a long, slender tail, and a long, thin neck topped with a small, square head. They talk about Adam Schiff? Small, square head. The crew told the Kodiak Mirror they thought they'd seen a dinosaur. Of course, nobody's gone looking for it. Then we have stories of giant birds. 2002, scores of Alaskans told the Anchorage Daily News they'd seen gigantic birds overhead. Villagers from Togiak and Onokotok in southwestern Alaska reported seeing the bird, which is much bigger than anything they'd seen before. Moses Kupichak, 43, was working on his tractor when he saw the bird and couldn't believe it. He said, "First, I thought it was one of those old-time otter planes. Instead of coming toward me, it banked to the left, and that's when I noticed it wasn't a plane." Now, for those that are not aware, an otter plane is a single-engine, propeller-driven aircraft that can be fitted with floats to take off and land on water, or skis to take off and land on snow, often used in search and rescue. John Booker, a pilot and the owner of the Bristol Bay Air Service, was skeptical of the reports of giant birds till he saw one himself. He was flying near Manokotok when he looked out his window, and there's this big bird. I mean, he's really, really big. You wouldn't want to have your children outside, or your chickens, for that matter. Raptor specialist Phil Smith said there's nothing the size of that bird alive anymore. Certainly not aware of anything with a 14-foot wingspan that's been alive for the last 100,000 years. Maybe nobody told the bird. Then we've got Steller's sea ape. German zoologist and botanist George Wilhelm Steller saw something in the mid-1700s, still has a story scratching their heads. He called it a sea ape. He was a naturalist aboard the St. Peter from 1741 to 1742 during the Great Northern Expedition to map a water route from Russia to North America. The expedition was wrought with conflict and scurvy and a storm that wrecked the St. Peter on Bering Island. It's called Bering Island because the expedition leader, Vitus Bering, hadn't succumbed to scurvy at the time of the crash. Shortly after that, he did, but the name stuck. While on the island, Steller identified several unknown animals, such as Steller's sea cow, that's a now extinct species of dugong, Steller's elder, Steller's sea eagle, and Steller's sea lion. But on August 10, 1741, while anchored off Shumagin Island, Steller categorized a creature never before seen. Hadn't been seen since, either. Observing the waters off the shore, he claimed to have seen a 5-foot-long animal in the water that defied science. Covered in gray fur with a red belly, a head like a pig with whiskers, pointed ears, and large eyes and a shark's tail. Took notice of the boat and began to show off by playing with a bit of seaweed until Steller attempted to shoot it, but missed. The ape disappeared into the water and vanished. Now, there's a lot of logical explanations for Steller's sighting, but the most telling piece that makes the sea ape's existence doubtful is that Steller admitted it from his official report. I also have an issue of him trying to shoot something that wasn't bothering him. Well, on that note, we come to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow, and we're going to talk more about American Monsters. Until then, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.